An hour before the game, they come, one by one. I wave them through the metal detectors that will warn of guns and knives, but not the lethal plastic pistols downloaded from the internet or torsos wrapped with dynamite. They line up behind the flimsy gray arches studded with blinking green lights. An old man's artificial hip lights up the red ones. He passes his cane behind the frame and limps his few steps through to be wanded by the secondary screener. A middle-aged blonde teeters on sequined gladiator heels, her bust full of cleavage and bling that also lights up the red lights. As does the young sweaty man come straight from work with his huge belt buckle and his steel-toed boots. Then there are the children. The boy with the brand new leather glove waits, as he has already several times in his short life, waited to be summoned through yet another screening. The toddler who trips over the unexpected jam, surprised at this door in the middle of nowhere. The babe lashed to her mother's breast, sound asleep as they are wanded because of the forgotten cell phone in her back pocket. Some swagger through, daring me to find their secreted cans of beer. Some put their hands up as if caught committing a crime. Some prance through like ponies. Everyone looks guilty. Some sidle, some duck their heads or do a distracting jig. Some stumble through drunk an hour after the first pitch has been thrown. Some thank me, believing that I keep them safe. Some merely return my set smile, not meeting my eyes. Some curse this new impediment to their immediate pleasure. Some shake their heads and wonder why this is necessary at a game. Some blame the government for yet another intrusion into their lives. It is dusk when I leave. The arena is still lit, the game not yet over. The first notes of God Bless America waft through the summer air. Soon there will be winners and losers. I walk the mile to the concealed employee's lot. On one side of the shortcut dirt path are chain link fences that still guard the unused and the obsolete. Iron girders left over from when the domed park was built, unexpectedly killing three workers. Rusted recycling bins, faded signs, outdated porta potties, maybe even shards of the first stadium built back when, a child, I was told we could survive nuclear war from a bunker in our basement, stocked with sufficient soup cans, or withstand a tornado from a corner of our small frame house. A slender cottonwood has taken root just inside the fence. Its new leaves shimmer slightly in the breeze. The first firefly flashes. The first locust begins its buzz. Fast-growing vines and nightshade widened round purple thistles to camouflage their prickly leaves. Bees dance through a last pollen run. Mullein that thrives in poor soil, yellow cinquefoil, Queen Anne's lace, chicory, clover, oxeye daisies, all attest to undetected loveliness. As I pass under the freeway, beneath a belly of hurtling cars, not far now, I glance up the concrete slope to the darkening wedge of space at the top. My feet, ankles, and back ache from hours of standing. If I had to, I think, maybe, if some night I had nowhere to go, if I were homeless, if I had a blanket, maybe two, maybe I could sleep up there. If it were summer, say July, I could curl up and listen to the unconcerned chirps of robins and red wings settling in for the night, settling down deep into the wild. If one did not squint too keenly into my wedge of darkness, I don't think I'd be seen. Probably, even quite possibly, swaddled in such a place, I would be safe. I was going to read a rather long poem called Quivira. I'm from Kansas. And Quivira is a wildlife refuge not far from my grandfather's farm, actually, but I had never visited it until I went back to Kansas a few years ago, and it was closed because the government had shut down for the day, couldn't decide on a budget. So I walked in, and the poem kind of came together. It had been in the writing for many years about my home in Kansas. It starts in, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it starts in 1541 when Coronado rides in on horseback looking for a legendary city of gold, but finds only a flow of grasshoppers, turkey, deer, migrating birds, salt, sand, and savages in movable thatched huts following bison. Disappointed, he still names it Quivira before returning to Spain, a city of gold. So I have sections from then to 1875, when the little town I was born in, Stafford, was created by people putting two buffalo skulls to the four directions, and that was the middle of Main Street. Then there's a section in 1945 when I was born, and then a section in 1975 when the grandfather's farm and other farms were taken over by conglomerates, and they started using pesticides, and people started dying of cancer. And then it ends in 2013 when I was back for one of my anniversaries, one of my reunions, and I walked through Quivira. So I'd like to read it. It's long, but it is in this book if you're interested in taking a look at it afterwards. I would like to read a couple of short poems.